أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم كثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are all gathered here for a purpose of commemorating the martyrdom of the masters of the martyrs, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam. The world gets together when the moon of the month of Muharram is sighted around the world for a purpose on weeping on someone on whom even the prophets and the a'imma wept. Wearing of black clothes, weeping on Sayyidul Shuhada is not something new. We have been doing it every year. A ma'soom imam, Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam, has a dua for those who weep on Hussein ibn Ali. He says, إِرْحَمْ تِلْكَ الْأَعْيُنِ الَّتِي جَرَتْ دُمُوعُهَا رَحْمَةً لَنَا. Have mercy on those eyes which shed tears for the pain that we have, for the mercy, showing mercy for our cause. Have mercy for those eyes. And it is interesting to note here that for a person for whom the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Husaynun minni wa ana min al Husayn, is not a small person, is not a small personality at all. It is also interesting to know here, there is a hadith Qudsi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which He says, Abdi turidu wa urid, O my slave, you want and I want also. وَلَكِنْ مَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدُ. Nothing will happen except that which I want. this world, our lives is governed by Allah's will. And there is no doubt about it. Insha'Allah ta'ala, in my coming lectures we will discuss more on this. But everything that you see in this world is governed by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is governed by what a person does. It is Allah who gives lives to me and you. It is Allah who keeps me and you alive. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who keeps the cause of Hussein ibn Ali alive. For there is no doubt, people came and went. Rulers came and gone and went. They wanted to diminish the name of Hussein ibn Ali. People from outside the Muslim society, people from within the Islamic society, tried their best for us not to remember Hussein ibn Ali. However, this is not in our hands, as I said. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every Muharram to the Day of Judgment, Hussein ibn Ali is remembered. And you will see, worldwide, people who don't go to the mosque for 360 days, they will come on the Day of Ashura, they will be here. Everywhere, not only in Dubai, everywhere in the world. You will see wearing of black clothes to the extent of those children wearing black clothes who are suckling from the bosoms and the breasts of their mothers. Even they are brought to the mosque, Majlis of Hussein alayhi salatu salam, for the purpose of weeping on Hussein. For even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has wept. Hearts and minds have been won by this person. Not only Muslims, even non-Muslims have spoken about Hussein. Charles Dickens, for example, says that it stands for reason, therefore, that Imam Hussein, when he gave his life away, he took his family with him. If it was for a position, he would not have taken his family with him. At this juncture, in Surah Taha, verse number 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. He says to the Holy Prophet, has the story of Janabe Musa come to you, Ya Rasulullah? It is not, this ha is istiqrari. Hal ataka hadithu Musa? Has the story of Janabe Musa come to you, O Prophet? Iz ra'a nara, since he, when he saw that fire, faqala li ahlihim kuthu, he said to his family, stay here for a while. Inni anastu nara, I have felt and I have seen fire somewhere distant, in a distant place. Let me go to that place, get something, some warmth, or I shall find some guidance. Because I'll just tell you a short story. Janabe Musa, as we all know, and we've been hearing this, and people who do Quranic studies know better than I do, that Janabe Musa was a great, great prophet. He was brought in the family or in the house of Fir'aun. He was brought up there. But due to the help that he did to one of his family, his members, he was in trouble. He had to run away from Misr. We all know this. And I'll cut the story short because we don't have time. He fled from Fir'aun. He fled from Misr. He went away. He went to a place called Madian. But when he was going, he was lost. He reached this place in Madian where he met the two daughters of Janabi Shu'aib in a well, where he saw that the ladies were sitting in a corner waiting for someone to come and open the well, or there were men who were feeding or who were watering their sheep. So the two ladies were waiting. So Janabi Musa said to them, what is the problem with you? Why are you waiting? Feed your sheep and go. They said, well, we have to wait for the strong ones to first feed their sheep water, and then we will come, whatever is remaining. So Janabe Musa helped them. He helped them,
And the girls, the daughters returned home early. So Janabi Shu'aib asked them, why did you come home early? They said, because we found a person, a very Ameen person who helped us. And here Janabi Shu'aib was told the story of what happened. One of the girls, one of the daughters of Janabi Shu'aib said to Shu'aib, bring him over, maybe he can be of some use to us. Now in this story, there is a lot to be learned from. For example, one can learn about the relationship between a father-in-law and a son-in-law. How these two are treating each other. One can learn a relationship of a daughter and a father. What level of trust did Janabi Shu'aib have on his daughter to say to his daughter, go and call this man, not knowing who he is. These are ethical discussions which we will not go into today. Inshallah, next time when we have time. Janabi Musa comes to Janabi Shu'aib, and we all know how he went to Janabi Shu'aib. When he reached to Janabi Shu'aib, Janabi Shu'aib said to him, I want to marry you, one of my daughters. Safura, he chose. On condition and on mahar that you will serve me for 8 years. Today if a father-in-law says to his son-in-law, you have to come and work for me, it's a no-go area. It can't be a go area because I'll be a gharjamai, they say. Or I'll be someone under the feet or on the thumbs of my father-in-law. Well, on condition that a mahar of 8 years of service will be given to me plus 2 years if you increase. And this is a story in Surah Qasas. If you want, you can read more on Janabi Musa and how he went on with his life. However, after 10 years of his life that he spent with Janabi Shu'aib looking at shepherds, and he was a very poor man, Janabi Musa. He was not a rich man at all. As far as his status was concerned, he was not a rich man. In fact, in Nahjul Balagha, khutbah number 159, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. He says that he used to eat so many herbs and vegetations, Janabi Musa, so much that if you had to remove his shirt, you could see greenery under the skin of his belly. So much herbs and vegetation he ate. A poor man. Yet whatever he did for those 10 years, he got a few sheep that he had, and he told his wife and his son, let us go back to Misr. He bade farewell to Janabi Shu'aib, took his wife, took his son. And why they say his son is because he says in the Holy Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَ لِأَهْلِهِ, he said to his family, he was not alone. He was with his wife and his son. And some Mufassirin say his wife was also pregnant. Janabi Musa. Now remember the hadith Qudsi, huh? عَدِّي تُرِيدُ وَأُرِيدُ, O my slave, you want and I want. لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدُ, nothing will happen except that which I want. Now, Janabi Musa is a great prophet. Ya Allah, why are you making him go through so much difficulty? A poor man, he fled from home, he's married, he's poor, he's now going back to Egypt. And what happens is, it's night, he loses the way. He is going towards Egypt, towards Misr, but he's lost now. It's night, it's dark, it's raining, it's stormy. And it's cold. And it's cold. Subhanallah al-Azim. Ya Allah, Janabi Musa is your prophet. You're giving him all these hardships. For what reason? Why are you giving him so much hardship? His wife speaks to Janabi Musa and says, Musa, it is cold. I am feeling cold. We have a child. I am pregnant. What is happening? And all the sheep that he had gathered when he was working with Shu'aib were lost. He was lost on the way to Egypt, to Misr. Suddenly, something interesting happened. Allah says in the Holy Quran, and I read this verse to you, he says to his family, إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا, he saw fire lit. فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِ, he said to his family, sit here. Stay here for a while. Inni anastu nara, I have seen fire there. La'alli atikum biqabasin minha aw ajidu 'ala an-nari huda. He says, sit here for a while. Let me bring some fire so that you may get some warmth, or I find guidance to the way. Someone must be there. There's a fire there. There's light there. Someone must be there. I go to him. I tell him, I have lost the way. Please, can you show me the path to Egypt, to Mesir? So he goes. And when he goes, inshallah, tomorrow I'll tell you what happened there. But here I would like to stop for 2 points only. The first point he said to his family is that I am seeing fire, I want to get warmth for you. The second is, أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدَى. Or I find guidance, because during those days, people used to light lanterns outside their houses or on the streets. So if someone is lost, they see that there's a path there, there's some light there, so people are there. But when he went there, he saw the fire in the midst of a bush, the fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which spoke to Janab Musa. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now here, I would like to point out two things, and this is important. Hidayat comes in two forms. Guidance comes in two forms. There is one hidayah called hidayah takwiniya, or natural guidance. For example, you will not see a lion which is a coward, who's a coward. A lion is created fierce, he is supposed to be fierce. A child, when he is born, he is supposed to suckle from the mother immediately. Nobody goes and teaches him how to do it. Nobody goes and teaches the child how to suckle from the breast of the mother. When it comes out of the womb, it immediately cries. If it doesn't cry, they do something to make it cry. It's natural. A bee is supposed to do certain actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided for. Allah says in the Holy Quran, قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He who gives forms to all His creation and then He guides it. Natural creation, natural guidance. There is one other guidance which is called hidayat tashri'iyah. The guidance which is legislative. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Rasul Allah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was sent to this world for a purpose of guidance. Not for a purpose of joking and jumping around. For a purpose of guidance. Guidance of humanity. And remember, all the prophets, 124,000 prophets. Some riwayats also said there were 300,000 prophets, but we know 124,000 prophets, so we stick to 124,000. All of these prophets came for a purpose to guide. To guide to the right path. Hidayah tashri'iyya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends prophets and a'imma salamullahi alayhim to come and guide me and you. 2 points. One, either I bring fire so that you get warmth, or I look for guidance, I find guidance. Now, remember, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, there are two hadiths which I will quote to you today. He says, "Inna liqatli al-Husayn hararatan fi qulub al-mu'minin la tabrudu abada." Surely for the killing and the martyrdom of Husayn ibn Ali, there is a heat in the hearts of the mu'minin which never goes cold. This is the warmth that me and you get from the hidayat of Husayn ibn Ali. No doubt about it. Harara, heat, that emanates from Imam Hussein alayhi salatu salam, not only for us, but for the entire humanity of this world. The other hadith, the Holy Prophet says, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنِ مِصْبَاحُ الْهُدَى وَسَفِينَةُ النَّجَاةِ. Hussein alayhi salatu salam is the beacon of guidance and the ship of salvation. That fire which Janab Musa saw, it was limited to him only. For it is through that fire that Musa got his prophethood. It was limited for Janab Musa. The guidance of Hussein ibn Ali is not limited to any time or zaman or makan. It is not limited. It is there for everyone to take from. The heat that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam gives and emanates, it is only from Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam that we get this guidance. And he is a guide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why I said in the beginning of the lecture that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power that makes me and you take guidance from Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Otherwise, would it be possible? Martyrs have come and gone. Kings have come and gone. But the name of Hussein ibn Ali is still alive. You will see children who are suckling from the breasts of their mother. The mother tells them, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. You know, there are many recommendations that we have in our tradition, in our riwayats. It is highly recommended, and those who have children, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them on the right path. Keep them on the right path. Those who don't have children, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant everyone children. Say Ameen. But whenever a child is born, the first thing the child should be fed is the water of Furat and the Khak-e-Shifa. The Khak-e-Shifa that we pray on has got Shifa in it, has got Shafa in it. You know, these are interesting things, and it all depends on the Aqeedah of an individual, on the faith of an individual. You can debate on it. People have seen what happens with the Khak. Those who don't have faith in it, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you. Guide us through the light of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. But there is one story which is very interesting. In South Tehran, there is a place called Maidan al-Khurasan. There used to be a mosque there, which used to be filled by people on the day, in the month of Muharram. From the first of Muharram to the end, 2 months, full of people. There was one person there, and see how Hussein guides, by the way. Imam Hussein didn't only guide then, he guides today too. See how he guides. There was a person by the name of Qasim Laham. His name was Qasim Laham. And this man, he was not a multazim. Yani he didn't pray on time, he didn't pray sometimes. He drank, he did sins openly. Now here I don't want to condone those actions which are don't pray, don't go to Hajj, don't give zakat, don't give khums, just do matam and you'll go to Jannah. No, it doesn't work that way. We are above that now. We should pass that level. But this man, he didn't pray on time, he drank sometimes. Because of him, people didn't come to the mosque. Because of Qasim, people didn't come to the mosque. And the organizers of the mosque, the chairman, the secretary, the treasurer, they decided, they said, look, the more the people, the more the funding we get. It's true. Because if people don't come, we won't get funding. So because of one person, there are 100 who are not coming. So let us tell Qasim not to attend the majlis. Attendance of majlis of Hussein, whoever comes to the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody has the right to stop them. Whether they are Muslims, whether they are non-Muslims. Whether they are kafirs, whether they are untouchables. When they come for the majlis of Hussein, their feet and my head. For the majlis of Hussein is the guidance. It guides people. And see how it guides this man. Qasim Laham. The organizers gathered together, 7 of them. They come to Qasim's house. Knock on the door. First of Muharram. They say to Qasim, Qasim, we know you love Hussein very much, so do we. And he was known to be the lover of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. No. So do we, O Qasim. But Qasim, you understand we need funding too. People don't come because of your bad habits. They say you have a bad habit, you drink, you don't pray on time.
Only when Muharram comes, you come to the mosque. Now, if possible, don't come to the mosque that we have. Go somewhere else. Allahu Akbar. Qasim kept quiet. He said, okay, no problem. If this is what you feel, then I will not come to the mosque. But he is a lover of Hussein. Azadari doesn't only happen in the masajid, it happens in the heart. And the best of the azadari is that which happens in the heart. He says, no problem. The next day he goes to the market, he purchases few black clothes. In Tehran they used to have houses which had sardars or which had basements. He went to the sardar, he put on the four corners of his wall, he put black clothes. First night of Muharram came. His wife and his child standing on the door saying, Qasim, today is the first of Muharram, let's go to the mosque at night. He didn't say anything to them. He said, you go, I will come later and join you. You go. The wife and the daughter goes. In Iran, even today, you have those silsals, zanjir, which is without knives. Just chains. They take it and they hit it on their back. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Azadar. He had one of those. When the family left, he went to the sardab, he went to the basement, alone, walking on the four corners of his house, saying, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Alone. First night, second night, third night. Fourth night, on the fifth night, one of the organizers saw a dream. He was awakened by this dream. He goes to the second colleague of his. He says, I have seen a dream. What dream have you seen? He asks. He says, let us share what dreams we have seen. It happened to be the same dream. They went to the third person. All seven of them saw the same dream. They went to Qasim's house. They knocked on his house. Qasim. Qasim didn't say nothing. They entered in his house. He was a poor man. They come to his house. They sit down. Qasim, we have seen a dream. Qasim says, what dream have you seen? For I have seen a dream too. You say first. No, you say first. Eventually, one of the organizers say, we saw a dream. In the dream, we saw Hussein ibn Ali coming to you. He comes to you, he put his hand on the head of Qasim. He says, Qasim, I am asking for an excuse. These people did not understand your value. They don't understand how much you love me, Qasim. For my sake, go back to the Husseini. Go and listen to the majlis of Hussein. All of them saw the same dream, all of them. Qasim said, but I had one more thing Hussein ibn Ali told me. He says, Qasim, you claim to love me, and I know you love me, I am sure you love me. Leave your bad habits. Pray on time, if not on time, at least pray. But leave your bad habits. Qasim, my dear brother, come to the mosque. Qasim says, I don't know, I feel that I have sinned a lot in this world. And I am keeping witnesses. You are going to be my witness that from today onwards I will not do one sin. But I feel in my heart that I am not going to live for long. Seventh night passes, eighth night passes, ninth night passes, tenth night passes. On the night of Ashura, they hear sounds from the house of Qasim. Qasim is no more. Qasim is died. Qasim is dead. They come to his house, take his body, give ghusl and kafan, and there were people, so many people. Even today, Masjid Qasim Laham exists. But here I would like to point one thing, and inshallah tomorrow I will read the Masaib of the departure from Medina. But today, just for the connection, the Janab Qasim was given all the ghusl, he was given all the kafan. But if we look at Karbala, we find the Shaheed of Karbala, the Shuhada of Karbala, especially Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, without kafan and ghusl, to the extent so much so that his body was kept there for days without being given ghusl or kafan. There was nobody to give ghusl and nobody to give kafan to your Hussein ibn Ali.
the shuhada of Karbala, Ali Akbar, Ali Asghar, all of them died without ghusl and died without kafan.
Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إن لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this azadari of ours and to give us the tawfiq and the courage to take the guidance of Hussein ibn Ali during this month of Muharram and Safar. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of Hussein to alleviate all the problems that all of us face in this world and to give shifa to all the marḍa. Recite a salawatah.